listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM. I'm Mary, and my guest tonight is Derek Downham. Derek is a Toronto-based accomplished songwriter and producer. He's a terrific singer and multi-instrumentalist. He's recorded and played and toured with many of Canada's finest bands and artists. There's a quote I read about him that says Derek Downham is known as the Kevin Bacon of Canadian rock, given that often way less than 6 degrees of separation between him and any Canadian musician. He's performed and recorded with everyone from Gord Downie, Serena Ryder, The Beauties, Broken Social Scene, Andy Kim, July Talk, Alex Lyson from Rush, and more. So such an honor to have you on the show tonight, Derek. Welcome to the show.
The honor is mine, truly. So thank you for that introduction.
Awesome. Well, maybe let's start off the show with a song that you played on. The song is called Sister Okay, and it's an Andy Kim song, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Wonderful.
Great.
It's just that your sister said that you'd be okay, and the timing you feel is right in your life, and it's just okay, just okay tonight. Yeah, it's just okay, just okay, it's fine. Well, it's just that your mother said that you'd be okay, and the timing you feel is wrong in your life. But it's just okay, just okay tonight. Yeah, it's just okay, just okay. Okay, it's
That was Sister Okay by Andy Kim. And tonight, my guest on Dangerfield is Derek Downham. So Derek, that's a really cool song. And the interesting fact is, like, you play drums on that song, and you also played on Letterman with Andy Kim, correct? And you played guitar with him then?
Yeah. So I got to play in the last 2 weeks of the David Letterman show with Andy Kim, with my dear friend Kevin Drew as well from Broken Social Scene. And our mutual friend Anna Ruddick actually was on bass. And there was just a fantastic band, Morgan Doctor. And I'm trying to remember everybody that's in the band, Jimmy Reed. But Peter Nunn. But it was one of those moments of just a great thing. But I was supposed to play drums on it, as I did on the record. But supposedly Kevin wrote the song with Andy when he was on Magic Mushrooms, and he couldn't remember how to play it. So this is a true story. He asked me if I'd play guitar for it. So I play it a little differently than the record on the thing, but it was a lot of fun.
That's
it was
hilarious. Great to be beside.
Yeah, it was great to be beside those guys too up front. My mom loved that performance because I was in every single shot.
Yeah, I actually
thought I was Kevin Drew. So
I rewatched it, and it looking forward to this interview, and that just must have been such a wild experience, kind of being on that stage. I'm sure you watched that show growing up, and that must be pretty surreal.
The first thing I ever saw of that was watching Letterman when I left home at a young age. I was 14, and we had a little television in my apartment that only got global one channel. But we'd watch Letterman every night, and I'll never forget watching the Pixies playing Prompt Le Monde on it. And it was that moment when I was like, you know, I was 14, I think, and I looked at it and I went, that's what I'm going to do someday. I'm going to do that someday. And I thought it would never happen because the show was starting to end.
Right.
Well, sure enough, Kevin gave me a call, and he's like, Derek, I told you I'd get you on Letterman, and he did.
That's
so
awesome.
And I got to play with my dear friends, and it was when you walk onto that stage, you get this chill, like they cool down the theater, but then, like, I closed my eyes and for the first bunch of chords, and when I opened them, and it was like I felt like I was in black and white, you know, watching the Beatles or something. It's the Ed Sullivan stage. It's a legendary, there's no other way to put it. It was a complete honor, and I'll never forget it.
That's cool. And so, and you actually played for quite some time with Andy Kim. I recall seeing you guys play, I think, in Niagara. And so for those who haven't heard of Andy Kim, he had a hit song, Sugar Sugar, in 68. He sold like millions of records. I think he had the number one album in the 60s as well, late 60s. And so what was that experience like playing with him and his band?
Well, I played with Andy for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I was his musical director at the end of that stint. And then it was kind of strange. Like he just wanted to rearrange his band and try something different. So he has actually gone with a different band recently. But I think I can say this, but I got a call from him recently, actually, saying that he wanted to play with me again. So I'm going to start back to where I started from with him and play a little drums with him coming up, and which is very exciting. Because I did the Andy Kim Christmas show for 15 years. I basically got to play with every great musician across the country because of it, and through him. Like, he was the first independent artist to sell over a million records with Rock Me Gently. And, you know, he got handed his gold record by John Lennon. The guys, he's been covered by Bob Marley, you know, Ike and Tina. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Those are just a couple of my favorite versions of Sugar Sugar. But Sugar Sugar is one of those songs that just transcends everything. And I got to say, out of playing it over 15 years, I've never ever gotten bored of playing it, because it brings such joy to everybody's face when you start playing it.
It does. And you mentioned those, the Christmas shows. I recall I used to go to those at they were at the Phoenix for a while. They moved over to, I think, what was it, Roy Thompson Hall?
Or the Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Queen Elizabeth, right. And so you mentioned, like, so what he would do is just kind of bring together lots of different artists each year. And it was a rotating kind of cast of artists. So you've actually played with, you had a really cool experience as well. I think it was, you played a Lou Reed tribute as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, wow. So that's really where I got, that was an interesting gig because I ended up rehearsing and getting to rehearse and working on Andy, you know, doesn't really play guitar a whole lot. Like he plays a little bit, but just for arrangement stuff. So I helped, Andy was asked by Kevin Hearn who arranged it, Kevin Hearn from Bare Naked Ladies, who's also Lou Reed's musical director, asked Andy to sing the song Sweet Jane. Now, so Andy can't play and he really didn't know how to work on it. So I was brought in and I got to play with Lou Reed's band and play Sweet Jane. And we worked out our own version of it. And that was a mind-blowing experience. And to be there with all those people that performed, you know, there was Gord Downie. That's where we started talking about writing. Gord and I wrote a song together out of that experience. You know, we've known each other for years, but it was, you know, it was just a catalyst to so many different things for me. The song that I wrote with Gord, I just started recording it over pandemic because, you know, things were just messed up. So I decided to finish the song finally, and I recorded it with another performer who was on that gig that day. It was Misha Berger-Gosselman, the opera singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's on it. Colin Cripps is on it from Blue Rodeo, and Charles Spearin and Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene, Lisa Lobsinger. So many great artists are on this track. I can't even bring them all off at once, actually. Julie right. Taylor's on, who I play with now. My friend Terry Arayek from up in Nagulik. I've got throat singers, like people from all across the country, indigenous and different backgrounds of people. I really tried to bring them together in one song. So if anything came out of that Lou Reed tribute night that was miraculous, it was that song. And that I'm hopefully going to release it before the end of the year as a benefit single, a charity single for the Downey Wenjack Fund.
That's amazing. And so for those just joining, Derek Downham is joining me tonight on Dangerfield. You can find him online at derekdownham.com, and that's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Downham, D-O-W-N-H-A-M.com. And he's also on Instagram at Instagram.com/Derek Downham. So Derek, you mentioned just now that one of the artists who sings on the song that you wrote with Gord Downie, Julian Taylor. And so you recently, I believe, played a Juno show with him, correct?
Yeah, it was they did Juno's online this year, obviously because of what's been happening. So we played Julian is an indigenous man, a beautiful man. So we were part of an indigenous showcase at the Glenn Gould Theater. So I was so overjoyed to play this beautiful grand piano with him in that theater. But it was weird because there's no audience, right? So
right.
He gets on a song and it's like, what? Did we do okay? Like we need an applause or something. But it was still beautiful. He's a wonderful man. He's one of my dearest friends these days. I think he's just a wonderful, wonderful songwriter.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, so in the past week, unfortunately, we lost Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones. And
yes.
You have one of the most incredible Rolling Stones collections that I've ever heard of. You've got, I think, over 120 different vinyls, like solo albums, bootlegs, and all of that. You've got some pretty neat connections and experiences that relate to the Stones. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of picking out some today. I've been, like, obviously, and on occasion, I sit in with a Rolling Stones cover band called Dead Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
With members of the Beauties and stuff, the people I played with over the years. And so it's, but every year for my birthday and Christmas, my uncle Billy used to get me a different Rolling Stones record and he would always tell me about Charlie Watts before I was even a drummer, before I was just into piano, but he was like, yeah, Charlie Watts is the best. He's the best part of the band. He's a metronome. And he couldn't be further from the truth, really, because as I become a musician and growing up, you don't have to look any further than a song like Honky Tonk Women, where he speeds up significantly by the start of the song to the end of the song. You know, it's almost like 10 beats per minute. He's completely sped up. But it doesn't matter, because what he did was he was able to unite all of those heartbeats at once and all those rushing, excited, young heartbeats and make them into incredible rhythms and hooky drum parts. Like, it sounded like Get Off My Cloud. It's so repetitive, but that's what makes it so good, is that it's hooky. And you know, if you listen to the live one, you got live if you want it. I got a great mono copy in my hand right now. And he's just rocking. Like, he's like punk rock. Like, it's amazing. His energy was so fantastic in those younger days. And I love every part of his career. Every part of what he did was fantastic. And it, you know, I know that they're going to keep going with Steve Jordan, it seems. And I'm actually for that. I'm one of those people that thinks, hey, he would probably want them to keep going. But, you know, there's just, and Steve Jordan is amazing. All this stuff with Keith Richards' solo records and whatnot. But there is only one Charlie Watts, and there will only ever be one Charlie Watts. Yeah. I got to see him at Massey Hall doing his swing thing. Oh, I was on the Mike Bullard show years ago with my band Grindig, and we were on it with Bill Wyman. And for me, meeting him was another big thing. You know, it's like, it's the only Stone I've ever gotten to meet. So I'm a little sad I never got to meet Charlie, but wow. It is what it is.
And so you mentioned there, so we know that you mentioned that you kind of started with piano. And then mm-hmm. next, was it guitar and then drums? Or what was your kind of, how did you come into music as a youth?
It's funny. I kind of started, I used to sneak into my brother's room. He had an electric guitar, and I would sneak into his room and play his guitar. I was taking piano lessons kind of behind my dad's back. I was supposed to be a hockey star. I was supposed to play, I played AAA hockey out of Oshawa. And I was a goalie. And I went to Johnny Bauer goalie school, learned the poke check from the man himself. Like, but I think I just, there was something about music where they weren't shooting pucks at my head and genitals at 100 miles per hour that I really enjoyed. So I got more into music, left home because, anyways, that's a long story. I'm sure you know the story, but everybody knows that kind of thing. But it was a tough decision, but I'm glad that I did it. And I started playing guitar and drums almost on the same day. Like, I got a drum set and a guitar on the same day on my birthday 1 year. But I bought them. My brother gave me his guitar because I broke a string when I was in his room and I didn't know how to fix it. And I was playing the song Wild Thing. And years later, I actually toured with the guy who wrote Wild Thing. Chip Taylor.
Awesome.
So it's weird how it's totally weird how life has come full circle for me in so many different ways, with the Letterman thing and Chip Taylor, and you know, working with Andy and so many different people. I'm you know, it's kind of like, you know, I went and saw Wilco at Massey Hall one time, and then you know, half a year later I'm recording with Nels Klein on one of my own songs. And it was, you never know what's going to happen in life.
Yeah. And so, and for those just joining, you're listening to Dangerfield, and Derek Downham is my guest tonight. And so, Derek, you, with all your stories, like, you're a very good writer too. So for those, you're on Facebook as well, and you have kind of a knack for always writing really kind of positive and uplifting, just kind of reminders to people about, you know, the beauty that is in life. Have you ever thought about, or do you take any of those concepts and put them into your music? Or have you thought about kind of putting a book ever together about some of your thoughts? Or
it's interesting. You know, there was a girl who started, that I went to school with, who started writing a book about me, which was kind of very interesting. But then, you know, life has just gotten in the way of people lately. But I mean, I have thought about that kind of thing. And it's funny because been reluctant to put out records over the while. Like when people ask me for songs, if they want to hear something, I just send it to them. And yeah. Now I have my own home recording studio. I have a fantastic recording studio in my own house. So like I've got like, I'm about to come into a lot of very amazing vintage gear, like Neve board and different things like that. So I'm very proud of these records that I make, but I'd like to just give them to people. I like to give the recordings and the songs to people more than, you know, trying to hawk my wares all the time. But I do love producing with other people. And one day I should write a book. I was doing a blog years ago on the road sometimes, and it was called I'll Give You Something to Cry About, the life and times of Derek Downham. But that is... I don't know what the future will hold. All I know is I'm working on some great things and some movies and about 12 different records with different artists right now. Yeah. And I'm very, very content doing that.
That's awesome. Well, let's play another song that you were a part of. There's a song called Can't Find My Heart. It was co-written by you and Broken Social Scene. So it came out in March 2019. Maybe talk a little bit about that before we hear it.
So, yeah, that's an interesting track. That was recorded at Revolution here in Toronto with a great producer named Joe Ciccarelli, same guy who did White Stripes and Spoon and a lot of my favorite groups. There was something... this song came out of... a jam that we'd done a while before. We did a backyard party for a friend's place, my friend Tim McCready's place, and we played as a group called Casey Accidental, which is essentially beginning of Broken Social Scene. So this is with Charles Spearin and Kevin, and we had what's his name? I'm trying to remember guys from the Stills and Jimmy from Metric and myself on drums. And we just came up with this song and just this beautiful climbing bass line that Charles Spearin comes up with. And in the studio, it kind of became a collaboration of, you know, it's like Broken Social Scene and me. So I was really more than honored to be a part of it. And I love this drum part, and I love the, it's kind of an amalgamation of my ideas and Justin's ideas on drums as well. And then so honored to be a part of it and to play with these guys on any occasion.
Awesome. Well, let's listen to that. This is Derek Downham playing on Can't Find My Heart. Came off of a Broken Social Scene in song in 2019.
Yeah, it was their last single, I believe.
take you home.
With Derek Downham and Broken Social Scene. That was a really cool song. So Derek, you mentioned before you were in a band called The Beauties, and The Beauties was a house band at the Dakota for 11 years. Is that correct? Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah.
And it was Sunday
we tried
night.
To get fired, but we tried to get fired, but one of the owners was in the band. So that never happened. It was another one of those great things I was blessed to be part of. And the Dakota Tavern, the legendary Dakota Tavern. I'm giving, positive heartbeats out to them all the time, hoping that they get through this pandemic okay.
Oh, yeah. And actually, you hosted a night at the Dakota, did you not? Like a Tuesday night, you had kind of like, you'd have different bands play there? Is that...
I've done that. Yeah, I've had several different nights over the years at the Dakota. I had that going on for a little while, but the Sunday nights were really what it was about. Like, yeah. The Sunday nights lasted so well. I was a little bummed actually when it came to an end, but it was, sometimes things run its course. Mm-hmm. And but we've actually talked about getting back together. We were going to get back together for the 20th anniversary of Six Shooter Records, but then this whole pandemic thing happened,
right?
And which was really a bummer. But it's nice now, like so many things have changed with all of us too. Actually, two of the members of the Beauties are now a couple, and they just celebrated the birth of their first child. So yes. Congratulations to Judd and Anna.
Judd and Anna and their baby daughter, Billy. Yeah, that was...
There's a baby beauty. There's a baby beauty.
There. Baby beauty, that's true. And maybe we'll get her up on stage in no time.
Actually, her other child is Lenny, and she's such a beautiful little baby. And I have this... orangey reddish guitar that I call Big Len after her, and I will eventually give it to her one day when she gets old enough to play it.
That's great. So the Beauties were actually voted best roots band in Toronto by Now Magazine, and you also did an album with Serena Ryder, correct?
Yeah, I love Serena. Serena and I actually wrote a lot together. We haven't done anything in a while, but she's been doing her thing and she does her pop stuff. But I got a song on one of her big album with Stompa and all that stuff on it. And we did an album, Serena Ryder and the Beauties, that was just, it was like a covers EP. And so we did I was really proud of that. We had a great time putting that together with Kevin Drew producing actually from Broken Social Scene. And, yeah, we did a version of The Funeral by a Band of Horses that was on like the final episode of Gossip Girl or something like that. I got to play a show with Band of Horses years later, and it was nice to meet them, and they were really thankful for the version of the song. They really loved it, and I really loved it too, actually. It's not as good as the original to me personally, but I think that it's like solid second place.
Right. Well, I was actually thinking that we should listen to that tonight. So let's listen to that now, and then we'll come back to
that.
So
this song, I play drums and keyboards at the same time on. I started playing with Serena around this song because I did the guitar part on an organ. It starts with that, and then I do this like kick drum kind of drum thing near the end of it. It's very subtle on the recording, but when we would do it live, I'd play the keyboards and drums at the same time, and people thought we were playing the tracks, but no, I was doing this both because I'm gonna show off like that. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to The Funeral now. So this is Derek Danham, who plays on that, with his band The Beauties, and Serena Ryder.
Coming up only to hold you under. I'm coming up only to show you wrong and to know you is hard and we wander. To know you all wrong we were. Thank you.
That was The Funeral by Serena Ryder and the Beauties. Derek Danum joins me tonight, and that's a cover of a Band of Horses song. That's pretty cool. So you've kind of been all over, you've been all over the world pretty much. And I saw this great photo of you up in Dawson City, and you were playing with Wanda Jackson.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You've done your homework. I love this. That's fantastic. Oh, that's that was an interesting show for me. It was a one-off for me, but because she used to have Dan Romano used to play with her,
right?
And for some reason he couldn't do that gig, and my great friend Aaron Goldstein, who's a very well-known musician around town. He knew I was on my way up there to play with the Beauties. We were headlining the Dawson City Festival with the Beauties and Zeus and a bunch of bands. And he said, we need a guitar player who could learn these songs in less than a day. And he thinks I could do it. And he was right, man. I knew those songs. And we opened up with Rumble by Link Wray, and it was fantastic. And so I was switching in between guitar and piano with her. She was having a ball, and unfortunately, her husband died a little while ago, but I've been keeping in touch with her here and there and just sending her messages and on Twitter. She does Twitter. And but it was a talk about an honor, you know, like playing with the Queen of Rockabilly. That's stuff like that. Those are my little gold record moments, I call them. They're better than gold records.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, there's so many different songs and great artists that you've played with. Let's play a song. So, Julian Taylor. So he was he won Solo Artist of the Year at the Canadian Folk Music Awards this year. Nominated,
yeah.
Junos. Let's play a song of his, and you can intro it, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
That sounds great. Let's play the song "Love Enough."
Great.
"Love Enough" by Julian Taylor. I do the guitar solo on this song. I play piano on the whole record. Except for this song, I do the best guitar solo I've ever laid to tape on
really?
This song.
Cool.
Yeah, it's called "Love Enough," and it was all done in one take, all of us together, and it's one of my favorite recordings I've ever been a part of. It's an awesome song. He's got a beautiful voice, and I play like a Tex-Mexy slide flamenco mixture of guitar.
1, 2, 3, 4. I got love enough, love enough just to hold you, love enough to unfold you,
That was Love Enough by Julian Taylor. Derek Danum plays on that song. And you've played a couple shows with him recently. I think we spoke about you playing with him Junos this year.
Yeah.
So did you also play Calgary Folk Fest with him this year?
Yeah, we did. Thankfully, we got flown out to Calgary Folk Fest. I mean, it was very hard for all of these festivals to do anything this year, but I have to commend Calgary Folk Fest for pulling it together. And it was really nice. We did a nice stripped down show with just myself on piano and guitar and him on guitar, and Amanda Walters, wonderful singer, and the great Burt Carroll on pedal steel. It was sublime. It was beautiful. And what a wonderful, I love playing Calgary. It's one of my favorite places. So yeah, we did that. And then we did a little show out in Fenland Falls at this new venue called Grove. It was like Grove in the Park or something. It's an outdoor venue. And we did Summer Folk as well. So actually we did a few.
Yeah, I noticed that. You're kind of like, it's people are kind of slowly making their way back out. And have you been to any concerts that you haven't played at since COVID?
No.
Yeah.
I have to be honest about it. I'm very careful with what I do. Yeah. I'm double vaccinated, and I have autoimmune compromised issues. Mm-hmm. So I have to be careful, and so I try to avoid great big audiences and stuff. But I mean, if you are being safe and being whatnot, like I love the guys in the Arkells and Sam Roberts and those guys, and they've been doing bigger shows, and I'm glad to see that happening, but I just hope that everybody's being safe out there. And yeah, you know, I just want to see everybody. I want to see us get out of this properly, instead of us, because I'm very worried that we're going to go back into a lockdown, to be quite honest. And yeah, so I'm just trying to I produce mostly now, and I'm producing a lot of great acts, so thankfully I had some weird foresight to keep myself busy through all of this.
Great. And so who are you kind of working with now?
There's a couple of things that I'm working on that I am very, very excited. I've got my own solo record kind of project thing done. I did kind of an 80s inspired, a lot of electronic inspired bass, inspired music under the name Angelics. And I finished that, a record of that. I've just been kind of waiting to put that out. And then I've got a new project with my friend Lonnie Knapp and my friend Darren, Mr. D. Dumas. He used to be in a band called The Salads. And years ago, my band in the early 2000s, my band Grindig, we toured with his band, The Salads, and a band called The Mudmen. They were like a crazy rock act. But we've decided to start working on a new project together. And we're calling it The Reverbists. And it's kind of like a folk dub sort of thing.
Really?
And it's interesting because, yeah, like, sadly, yesterday, Lee Scratch Perry died, like, just a couple days ago. So he's one of our biggest influences on the whole thing. So we're dedicating the album to him. But it's a record of originals and covers, songs that we love, done in an acoustic dub-ish kind of style.
Cool.
And we cover everyone from like Carole King to Bahamas to John Prine to Taj Mahal and all of our favorite artists. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm so excited for people to hear it.
That's
and
really awesome.
I'm very, it's probably the most excited I am about everything right now, but I'm working on so many great records. And Chris Antonick, Frank Cosentino, like blues award-winning artists, blues Hall of Famers, roots, soul music, singer-songwriter stuff, country, roots, pop, electro. I like to be all over the map. And I'm not, you know, being greedy. I just want to be the next T-Bone Burnett. That's all. I just want to be the next Daniel Lanois. Is that so bad? Is that such a bad thing to want?
Have you ever been to Daniel Lanois' studio here?
Very briefly, but and I met him very briefly once, but I've been reading his book right now, actually. It's called Soul Mining, and it is fantastic, and
oh, cool.
Everyone who's into that kind of thing should read it. And I just got past the part where he met Bob Dylan and started working with him. But he did African Lion Safari theme song.
I had no idea.
Yes, that's him, man. That's him. Him, and then like Parachute Club, like right after that same kind of period.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's amazing. He did Rise Up. I forgot that he did Rise Up. Kind of amazing.
So for those that are just joining, you're listening, you're talking to Derek Downham tonight. You can find him at Derek.
Hi, everyone.
Derek.com and Instagram.com/Derek Downham. And so, Derek, before we kind of wrap it up for tonight, I just wanted, there's a couple of key people. So in your bio, you've played with everyone. So Don Felder from the Eagles, James Burton,
yeah,
Presley's guitarist, and Albert Lee, who played with Clapton and Harrison. Like what?
Yeah.
Like you've got quite the repertoire here. It's just
crazy. There's some really great stories behind all of those ones too. And it's like, did you say Ian Blurton?
No, I didn't. But I.
Oh, okay. I said Don Felder.
James Burton.
Oh, yes, James Burton, the great James Burton. I got to play with him, back him up at a guitar festival, and I got to spend all day with him, which is a real treat. It's nice to know that musically I'm 1 degree separated from Elvis. So that's kind of cool. And Albert Lee as well, who also played with Elvis, who played with Eric Clapton, nobody likes that guy.
You're right. Jeez.
Well, right now he's kind of.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But anyways, and he said some weird things in the. But anyways, I didn't mean to dig him. Anyways, what was the first? Oh, Don Felder. I got to play Hotel California with the man who wrote it. And that was a weird gig for like the Walk of Fame Canada. He was added on last minute, and it was one of the greatest gigs I've ever done. And I learned a couple of little secrets about that song. I've never been a huge fan of that song, but when you're playing it with the guy that wrote it, things change, and you find out little secrets about the song and that separate the bar bands from the real bands, right?
Hey.
So it was really quite an honor, and he's such a beautiful man. What a wonderful guy. And his guitar tech, Paul, too, great guy. I've had a very fortunate life. I'm blessed with every day. So thank you to anybody who listens to any of the music that I make, and let's make more records together. How about that?
You were doing like a really cool photo project for a bit, weren't you, with like the piano by your house?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's really cool. I call it the Parkdale Piano Project. And what I did was, there was a great little bar in Parkdale called Not My Dog that we used to all go to and hang out in, and we played music there. It was very small, but it was a lot of fun. And when it closed down, they were getting rid of the piano, and I asked them to just bring it over to my place. So, because I wanted to build one of those pianos, you know, those garden pianos, like you see them built in, like trees running through it and stuff. Yeah. And I wanted to make one of those in my backyard. So now I've successfully made one, and it's covered in vines, and it looks amazing. It's unplayable. But what I've been doing is I've been getting people from the community and different people from Parkdale, and or anyone who's ever really been part of the Parkdale scene or part of the Not My Dog scene, doesn't have to be completely in it, but to take pictures and portraits in front of the piano. And I'm compiling them all to put it together for an art show that we can do post-pandemic, where we can do a fundraiser for all of the local businesses that have lost money. I mean, it's quite a big endeavor, but hopefully, you know, there will be some people that will be feeling generous around that time. And it's a beautiful project, and I'm just trying to find a way to give back to my community.
Love that. Awesome. Well, Derek, it was great chatting with you tonight. Let's end off the show with a song of your choice. Is there another song that you want to highlight or play?
Oh boy! Now you put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Why don't we play a Rolling Stones?
Yeah, we can totally. Which one do you want to play?
You know what? I'd love to hear it. My favorite one starts out with a bit of a Charlie groove is Jigsaw Puzzle.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, great. So we'll end off with the Stones. And it was great having you on the show tonight, Derek. And I hope to see you in person soon.
Yeah, I hope to see you too. It's always great to talk with you. And thank you for listening, everybody. That was fantastic. Thank you.
That was super fun. Okay. Talk soon. Yeah.
Bye-bye. You're awesome at what you do, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
There's a tramp sitting on my doorstep, trying to waste his time with his methylated sandwich. He's a walking clothesline. And here comes the bishop's daughter on the other side. And she looks a trifle jealous. She's been an outcast all her life. Me, I'm waiting so patiently, lying on the floor. I'm just trying to do my jigsaw puzzle.
They've been out.